Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Last week we spoke on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how there's the necessity to be filled, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we also mentioned that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you like, is separate to the being born again of the Holy Spirit. We are not a Christian unless we have been born again of the Holy Spirit, that he has indwelt us by faith and that we have trusted in him for salvation. But we realize that we cannot live a life that is pleasing to the Lord unless we are actually full of his Spirit, because the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit also against the flesh. They are contrary. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we mentioned, and we know this, that we must have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to enable us to be bold witnesses for Jesus in these evil days. We need to have that Spirit that Daniel had, and Abednego, and Meshach, and Shadrach. Hallelujah. We need to be full on fire for Christ Jesus. So we said that the Holy Spirit baptism is, if you like, a different experience than that of salvation. Both are the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. And God baptizes his Holy Spirit freely. Blessed be his name. So, as I say, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we have the ability to speak with boldness, to have that courage. It gives us the power to preach the gospel fearlessly. I also believe it gives us a greater ability to discern the craftiness of Satan. I do believe that. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is mainly to equip the believer to do the work of God, to do the ministry of God in his power, in his time, in his ability. It has to do with ministry. The baptism of the Holy Spirit helps that the Word of God becomes real to us, to become alive to us. Hallelujah. It helps to bring a radical transformation in the life of the believer. Hallelujah. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. When we have been saved from our sins, translated from Satan's kingdom into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of life, we are transformed. But it's a work in progress, friends. We need the Holy Spirit so that that radical transformation will continue to take place, that we die to self, put on Christ and live in the Spirit. I've already mentioned, I think, that verse from Galatians about the flesh lusting, warring against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, because they are both contrary to one another. Okay? That is why we have that admonition, walk in the Spirit, so you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk worthy of your calling in Christ Jesus. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. You friends, let me tell you, no matter how long you have walked with the Lord, your flesh never improves. No matter how long you've been a Christian, your flesh never improves. In fact, as we may look at ourselves in the mirror, we may say it actually deteriorates. But your flesh never improves. It never becomes more like the Spirit over time. It doesn't. Flesh is flesh. Hallelujah. That's why it needs to be crucified. We need to die to it, friends, we do. We need to walk each day by the power of God's indwelling Spirit. And He provides it. He provides the Holy Spirit. We need to obey the Holy Spirit's instructions and not keep doing the wrong things that our evil nature wants us to do. By obeying and submitting, by yielding to the Lord. I'll tell you something, and you know this, God's Spirit is greater and more powerful, stronger than our flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to His name. Friends, we naturally want to do the things, and naturally we may be an argumentative person. Naturally we may be an angry person. Naturally we may be a very impatient person. Naturally we may not have a great deal of love or sympathy or empathy. Naturally. But those are the things which we yield to the Lord and say, Lord, I want the fruit of Your Spirit. I want You to so impart my life, impart me, impregnate me with Your Holy Spirit, that I will be full of Christ Jesus, so that the things which come naturally will go less and less and less, and that the fruit, to the glory of Jesus, the fruit of His Spirit, particularly love and all of these other precious fruits, will be manifest. Then Jesus is seen and we will make a difference. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. That the Spirit will have His way in us. It is the opposite of our natural desires. The two forces are at work, if you like, within us. But when the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ, the power of the Almighty God controls us, when that controls our lives, He will produce the fruit in our lives that is pleasing to Him. No boasting of flesh. The flesh is dead. The dead can't boast. The glory goes to Jesus. Love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Is such a lifestyle possible? Is it possible? Mm-hmm, yep. Such a life is possible. But we have to recognize that the enemy is our number one foe. We are a target for the enemy. So we need to protect ourselves with God's word. We need to protect ourselves with prayer. Also, that one sin that is still mastering you, that needs to be got rid of. Get rid of that one sin that is easily defeating you. God is able. Hallelujah. That's why the word says, lay aside, set aside, put aside the sin that so easily besets you, the sin that so easily ensnares you. It's a command. God wouldn't put it in the word if He didn't want you to be victorious over that one area in your life where the Satan is still getting the victory over. Christ's will is that you overcome. Hallelujah. And we need to be continually and constantly filled with the Spirit's power. Because without it, we'll lose out. But with Him, we're winners. We are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to stand in God's strength, not our own. Stand in God's strength, not our own. And we need to fight the good fight, the fight of faith, until we experience victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. His might plus Our choice to obey and keep on fighting will always lead to a clear and a lasting victory. God will see to it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So can you see? We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Last week I did speak, didn't I, about the missing person. And, the question was asked, have you received the Spirit since you were baptized? I don't know what sort of week you've had. Probably an up and a down a week. But I do trust that you have fallen in the arms of Jesus. You've fallen, as it may have been, prostrate before him. I know from the conversations we've had that last Sunday, some good things in God's name, in the name of Jesus, were being done in this place. I praise God for that. And I also thank the Lord that he hasn't finished with me and he hasn't finished with you yet. Hallelujah. There's more of Christ that he wants to give us. Hallelujah. Less of self, more of Jesus. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, as it were, opens the door to release the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's just the gifts of the Holy Spirit that I just want to speak about for a few moments this morning. Will you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12, we'll read verses 3 to 8. Romans 12, verses 3 to 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in a proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Hallelujah. And I just want also to read, we'll come back to Romans probably, but Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, and chapter 4 and verse 11. And Christ himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Sometimes some people are naturally very gifted in certain areas. Often it is a genetic thing. I think of music and musicians, etc. And some people are, have been given a talent to play an instrument and do it well. They obviously train well, and they're a blessing. But it's not necessarily in itself glorifying to Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that, for example, and I'm using a musician as an example, when that musician yields his life to the Lord Jesus, when he surrenders his life to Jesus, when he or she becomes a born-again believer and a follower of Jesus, that talent, with everything else, is yielded to Christ. It's yielded to him. And I believe the talent in the first place was given by God. And when it is yielded to Jesus, that particular talent, as it were, becomes a gift, not to themselves, but a gift to the body, a gift to the church, a gift that will make a difference, a gift because it would have been lacking without that gift. And it's yielded to Jesus. The Holy Spirit takes over so that man or woman is not glorified. That's why in this fellowship we don't have performers. We have worshippers. So that Christ is glorified and it makes a difference. So the talent becomes an anointed gift for the church. I've used that as an example. There are several examples. But people sometimes think, well, because I'm talented in that area, the gift, I must look for a particular another gift, which has to be proven to be supernatural. Now, that may be what the Lord requires, but it may not be. The Lord wants to supernaturally empower you and your talent so that it becomes a divine gifting which blesses the church, equips the church, edifies the church, and impacts others outside. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. Praise be. I'm not sure how much we will cover today. It doesn't matter. There's no rush. We can be here all day if necessary. No, we won't. All I want to do is share what is on God's heart for me to share, and it will be a blessing to you. I want you to be blessed and encouraged. What is the proper use of the gifts? What is the proper use of the gifts? Well, firstly, the gifts must operate in love. They must operate in love. Amen? They must operate in love. Not in strife, not in selfishness. Love, as we've already referred, is one of the fruit, if you like, of the Holy Spirit. It's so important. Love will also check out our motives. It will. Love will kill our pride. Love will kill our selfishness. So if we're truly in the Holy Spirit and exercising the gift of the Holy Spirit, if somebody, be it a leader or another brother or sister, gently corrects you, you won't suddenly have a huff and say, "That's it." You see, actually, they want to bless me. They want to encourage me so that I am actually a real blessing to the church, that I don't operate in my own strength. I'm actually operating in the Holy Spirit. Because he's in love. Exhort, rebuke one another in love. Correct one another in love. Do you see what I mean? If we're in Christ, we won't go all huffy. We won't. We may not like it at the moment. We may have to examine and test it and examine our own hearts with anything. I thank that brother. I thank that sister. They wanted the best for me. They wanted the best for the church. Yes, if I've got to die to pride, if myself was getting in the way, thank you, Lord, for allowing a brother or sister to be faithful enough to show it to me. And then everyone is edified. Everyone is built up. Hallelujah. So the gifts must operate in love. Secondly, they must be used to edify the body. We just read that in Ephesians chapter 4, didn't we? Christ himself has given to the church the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, so that all will be equipped, all will be edified, all will be able to do the ministry of Christ, nothing lacking. So gifts must be used to edify, not to destroy, not to condemn. You may want to look up Romans 8, verse 1. Thirdly, yes, our manners and mannerisms count too. It is important, isn't it, how we represent Christ. It is important how we represent Christ. And I want to be, don't you? I know you do. We want to be good representatives of Christ. We do, don't we? We want to be good ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Fourth, our freedom in the Spirit is never a reason to monopolize. Our freedom in the Spirit is not a license to monopolize. We must allow others to function. Do you see? We must allow others to function in the body. Functioning in God's timing, functioning in God's way. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This has just come to me. I haven't given that to you, Godson. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Do you see that? It's there again. Let it all be done for building each other up. Hallelujah. Let it be done for edification. Then it goes on, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three. Each in turn, let one interpret. If there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. But God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Aren't you glad about that? God is the author of peace. If anyone's causing trouble, do they have the Spirit of Christ? Because he's not the order of confusion and trouble. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. Fifthly, we must not neglect or abuse the gifts. And sixthly, it is important to exercise our gifts. Will you turn with me to 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. Listen to the word of God. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Eh? It's there again. Have fervent love for one another. You won't want to damage your brother and sister if you have the Holy Spirit. You won't. And when you do, you'll be quick. Friends, you've heard me when I've had to shamefacedly come before and say, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. I've done it publicly. I've done it one-to-one. I wasn't in the Spirit. But when you confess, when you say, I'm sorry for hurting you. Oh, what healing. If there's willingness, the healing, the rest. We should do it in our marriages. We should do it in our parenting and so on. You know, being able to say, I'm sorry. Love, forgive, reconciliation. How much more in the church? Well, no, not how much more, but it should happen in the church, shouldn't it? Should, it must, it must. So if you hear of anybody who's disgruntled or complaining, you may have to just gently give them a loving rebuke. You may have to. And wish them well and pray for reconciliation. Oh, friends, where have we got to in this reading? For love will cover a multitude of sins. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. That in all things, not some things, in all things, God may be glorified. So if you just turn, final main reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For time's sake, I'm just reading verses 1 to 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So as verse 7 makes clear, friends, a spiritual gift is a manifestation of the Spirit. A spiritual gift is a manifestation of the Spirit. And this, if you like, is how the Holy Spirit is seen in the exercise of spiritual gifts. And as the reading just now makes totally clear, absolutely clear, the Holy Spirit is seen in the ministry, in the exercise of spiritual gifts, but it's all for the glory of Jesus. It's all for the glory of Jesus and the edifying of one another. So I think, friends, one of the greatest displays of the Holy Spirit in a church is when the members are exercising the gifts for one another. A church functioning as a gifted body. A church functioning as a gifted body is a beautiful, wonderful display of the Holy Spirit. So, a spiritual gift is not only an ability to serve, it is the channel through which the Holy Spirit ministers to the body. Amen? And I think that this puts the discussion of spiritual gifts on a much, much, much higher level of importance. When you exercise your gift in the service of other believers, it is to be recognized as a manifestation, the display of the Spirit of God. For me, it simply means that God has chosen to minister to his people and others through us. What a privilege. What a privilege. So back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. In verse 7 it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then in verse 11 it says this, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So we see in these verses, in 1 Corinthians 12, that there are differences of gifts, administrations, and operations, but they are given by God to believers for the benefit of his body. Amen? Must be so. And as we read just a minute, in verses 8 to 11, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 11, we see that the different gifts are distributed amongst the believers by the one Spirit. By the one Spirit. And I think it's important in the verses that we have just read to notice the key words, to another, to another, to another, to another, to another, the word of knowledge, to another, faith, to another, gifts of healing, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. It says to another, not to all, to another, not to all, to another, even in reference to the gift of tongues. And as I say, verse 11 is very important because it tells us, it informs us that the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts to each person as the Spirit pleases. And it's for the benefit, it's for the edification of the body. And then in verses 12 onwards of 1 Corinthians 12, this is, we read that we are all parts of the body of Christ. If you are a believer, if you are a follower of Jesus, you're part of the body of Christ. He is your head. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. And the body of Christ has many members, like hands, like feet, like eyes, like mouth, etc. And even as with our natural body, each member plays a different and an important part, doesn't it? So it is with the body of Christ. Even those parts of the body which we cannot see, the things like the liver and the kidneys, they play a most important part, a vital part. They're not seen, but they're there. They're important. Our body would not function without them. We can't see our stomach, but thank God it's there. We wouldn't enjoy our food otherwise. Hallelujah. They all play a vital part in the body daily. With the body of Christ, it's no different. Some people like to focus on a particular gift. Some may even belittle the gifts as if they're, because they're not as dramatic as others. They're not so noticeable as others. But the Apostle Paul, as inspired by the Lord, teaches us that this should not be. This should not be. That all of the gifts are important. They have their place in the body of Christ. I'm not doing a dissection of the gifts this morning. I want to do a general picture, and I want us all to seek God afresh. So, and in verse 31, or what does it say here? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. This is important. Wow. It says, earnestly desire the best gifts. And then it goes on to say, I show you the more excellent way, the way of love. It says, earnestly desire the best gifts. What is the Apostle Paul saying as inspired by the Holy Spirit? He is saying, and let me tell you what he's saying, because there's people who've misrepresented this verse. The Apostle Paul is saying that we should desire the gifts which best help the body to function well. We should be desiring the gifts that help the body function as it should be. Too often, this verse is applied individually when the emphasis should be on the body of Christ. That's where the emphasis should be, on the body of Christ. To take Paul's words, earnestly desire or covet, as one translation says, earnestly covet the best gifts, means to seek out the gifts. It means seek out the gifts that are going to edify the body, not necessarily to seek out the gifts that you'd like to have from the list above. What's going to be a blessing to the body? What's going to enable me to show the love, the power, the grace of Jesus when I'm at work, when I'm at the bus stop, when I'm with my family? One Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 then, earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire the best gifts. There are no, how do we identify what our spiritual gifts are? There's no magical formula. I know if you go on the internet, for example, there's various inventories, and I've myself in Bible studies done something a little bit similar in the past to try and determine what our spiritual gifts are. I hope and pray those of us who have been mature in the faith for some time recognize, and we've been helped along, that we are indeed exercising a spiritual gift or two. And maybe the Lord wants to enlarge that and enlarge your capacity to receive more of the Holy Spirit, to have another gift, which will be for the edification of the flesh. It may be to speak in a tongue. It may be to then interpret the tongue. It may be he wants you to be able to prophesy in his name. It may be that he wants you to have your faith rise up, that you believe that when in his time and in his will, when you lay hands on people, they will be healed. It may be that you haven't been particularly hospitable, but you're being nudged. Actually, I'm going to bless my brothers, I'm going to bless my sisters by showing a greater hospitality. After all, selfishly, I might even entertain an angel. You know? It might be. I know. In the body, there's a lack of administration. Lord, I want to earnestly covet that because that's going to be bless the body. And I'm going to be the best administrator there is. The best treasurer there is. I earnestly desire that, Lord. That may not be naturally what I want. And you'll show me, the elders will show me if I'm barking up the wrong tree. But I earnestly want to desire the best gift for the building up of the church, for the edification of my brothers and my sisters, for the blessing of the children, for our outreach and talents. Remember, the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as he determines. The temptation is that we only want to get caught up in the spiritual gift that we feel that we have been gifted. And praise God if you are excelling in that gift. Please, I don't want you to think, oh, well, maybe I've got to move into another area now. If you're excelling, if you're doing your best in the Holy Spirit and it's blessing others, remain there, but have more of Christ. But see where else you may want to. Remember, it's to another. You haven't got to be selfish. Let others function. But these are the last days. And we need to be functioning in the way that the Holy Spirit is seen to be among us. That Christ is magnified and that others fall down in worship because they've been amongst a body of people who are so in love with Christ, so in touch with the Spirit, so have experienced the Lord himself, had an encounter with him, that out of them flow rivers of living water, gifts which they didn't even realize that the body needed. Earnestly desire the best gifts. He will equip you and me with whatever gift we need to accomplish the task that he has called us to do. We need to pray. Friends, this is an encouraging thing. The one person who knows exactly how we are spiritually gifted is the gift giver himself. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit. And we can ask God to show us how we are gifted, or how we are to better use our spiritual gifts for his glory. Yes, God calls some to be teachers and gives them the gift of teaching. God calls some to be servants. In fact, we're all called to be servants. All of us. Friends, don't think you can teach unless you're teachable yourself. And don't think that we can lead unless we ourselves know what it is to be led and to serve. Just as Christ Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom. All of us need to be servants. But some amongst us are going to be given that special gift of helps. Of helps. If we are dedicated to being used by God, he will equip us, dear friends, and with the spiritual gifts that we need. And we are very happy to sit down and talk and pray these things through with you. But let no believer say, well, I'm not gifted, because you're denying the Holy Spirit. You're denying the Holy Spirit. Look it not for your own benefit so much, but it is for the benefit and the edification of the church, so that we're an alive church, so that 95% of their worship services, our praise services, 95% of what we do in our daily work, in our living, in families and so on, we wouldn't do if the Holy Spirit wasn't with us. Amen? Rather than the other way round. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I get excited when I meditate on these things. Even when I talk about it, Lord, I'm excited, and I thank you for that. I pray that we, all of us, as a body, will get excited and think, yes, I wonder how the Lord's going to bless me and gift me so that I can be a real blessing to others. So that it's not me, it's Jesus who's magnified. I wonder, Lord, if any of us have been sort of been nudged by you to step out, and yet we've been a bit disobedient, a bit fearful. Lord, show me, show us even now where you want us to reach out to you and say, Lord, give me that gift. I thank you, Lord. You know, not all the gifts. I think there are more gifts than the 27, whatever it is. I thank you for the gift of intercession, Lord. I thank you for that wonderful ministry. Stir that up amongst us, Lord, we pray. But stir up the love, O God, that we will have so oodles and bundles of love one for another, Lord. Because we're so full of the Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, when we leak and we don't forbear with one another, when we grumble and complain. Oh, forgive, forgive. These things should not be. Love covers a multitude of sins. You're doing a thing amongst us, Lord, even now. and in the coming days, and is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand.